We're thankful once again for the Lord's mercies.
Yes.
And we appreciate His goodness unto us. Brother Charles Smith used to say that there's only one that could preach, and that was the Holy Ghost. And if the Holy Ghost doesn't preach, then there's no preaching. So we desire your prayers tonight that all that is done will be done by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And we likewise would like to do something a little different. We'd like to ask your help here for just a little bit. We have a thought on our heart that is encompassed in three words. And we would like for everyone that is here tonight to repeat verbally those three words. Those three words are, I am responsible. Can we all share together in that?
I am responsible.
We live in a world today where it seems that people try to avoid responsibility. Try to shirk their own duty. And in the process, put the blame on someone else. It's someone else's fault. There's always a reason as to why I can't do what others might expect me to do. There's an excuse as to why I'm not where I ought to be. There's always a reason other than me facing myself. Many people meet troubles in life because they fail to acknowledge that they are responsible and have not met that responsibility. They fail to acknowledge that the fault is actually in them. I'm not here to minimize the fact that we are affected to a degree by what others do to us, or how they might try to hinder us, or how it might affect us in our feelings and maybe make us feel a little down. I'm not trying to minimize all of those things. But I'm wanting to emphasize that ultimately, when the final judgment comes about, it all boils down to what you and I do. The things that people out in the world do to us, we don't have any control over that. The things sometimes that our spouses might do to us, we can't really control that. The things that others say about us, we can't stop them from saying those things. The fact that they sometimes hurt our feelings and pierce our heart, many times we can't do a whole lot about that as far as stopping that from taking place. But there is something that we can do. We can exert a control and a discipline over what we do ourselves as we go along life's way. And many people want to look out at all of the things that they can't control instead of looking at the very one they can do something about. And as a result, they fail to meet their responsibilities. When we consider this, we find that although there are those who are running from it, it is a necessity in this life. And if we are going to encounter any type of success in this life, we're going to have to meet the responsibilities that we have as we go along life's way. Someone might ask, what are we responsible to? Who are we responsible to? Maybe even why. We are responsible to ourselves. What we are responsible for is our very own soul. And we are responsible to others who are around us to do those things that are right and pleasing in God's sight. When we fail to meet those responsibilities, we find that those things that take place as a result of that will affect our children. They affect our children's children. They affect those who are looking on around us. And as a general result, it causes everybody to suffer when we fail to meet those things. The writer said responsible means being answerable or accountable as for something within one's power or control. It involves accountability, chargeable with being the author, cause, or occasion of something, having a capacity for moral decisions, and therefore accountable, able to discharge obligations or pay debts. In other words, we are accountable to those who are around us. Sometimes people say, well, I don't owe anybody anything. Yes, we do. We are accountable to others by those things we do, those decisions that we make as we go along life's way. And not only are we accountable for them, but as the writer points out in his definition, they are those things that are within our control, within our power, those things that we can do something about. Then he says we are chargeable with being the author, the one who actually begins it, who takes that step, the one who becomes the causing effect to cause something to take place, the one who becomes the occasion for all of this to come about. We are to be that type of person as we go along life's pathway. And in doing so, then we bring things about that will be a benefit to ourselves and others as we go along life's pathway. When we see those things, as we find people so often do, and they begin to feel like, well, this shouldn't be done, and that shouldn't be done. Well, now they are accountable because they see that it should not be done, and yet it is within their power to be the one who takes that first step to initiate those things that will cause the situation to develop in a different way the next time around.
Yes.
Too many people want to answer, like I hear it in the job force sometimes, that's not my job. That's not in my job description. Well, yes it is. And as we consider following the Lord, it's in our job description.
Yes.
To do those things, when we see that they need to be done, He's expressed it in His Word that we ought to do them.
Yes.
But then likewise, on a personal level, when we see those things within us, when someone has hurt us and we begin to see how we're reacting to it, it is within our power to be the one who initiates and starts those steps in such a way, by the help of the Lord, that we can gain victory over that thing and not allow it to affect us in that way as we go along life's pathway. It may be that that person that did it the first time does it again, but we can come to a place where we've initiated some steps, have obtained the grace of God over that thing, and now we can go forward without being so disturbed within our own breasts. Able to discharge obligations or pay debts. What kind of debts do we owe? You know, we're living in a world where people leave their families. And sad to say, I've even heard of some occasions where they don't even leave the families. And you almost feel like it would be a better benefit to the family if they did leave. But they're just there being a drain, being a weight and a burden, not wanting to carry out their responsibilities.
Yes.
We find it in the workforce. It's not my job.
Yes.
I'm not going to do it. Let somebody else do it. We find it in husbands dealing with wives and wives dealing with husbands. She did it first.
Yes.
Let her make the first step. He shouldn't have done that. I let him make the first step. Well, we could be the author of something better coming about if we'll endeavor to do it.
Amen.
But we find that there are some hindrances to man accepting and acting upon his responsibility.
Yes.
A few of those things are stubbornness. I just won't do it.
Yes.
You can't make me. You ever hear that expression? You're not my mama and you're not going to tell me what to do? I'm just going to sit here. You can't do a thing with me. Pride?
Yes.
I let them do it. That's down below me. I don't need to worry about that. A lack of discipline and a lack of self-denial, knowing that this is what I should be doing, knowing that I have the ability to do it, but I'm not going to push myself to move and do those things that I know are in need of being done. Sometimes it's just fear.
Yes.
What will others say? What will they do? How will they react? Sometimes it's just a refusal to face reality.
Yes.
Oh, no, that's not me. You couldn't be talking about me. You must be talking about somebody else. Lord, that's for somebody else. Sometimes it's just a matter of people thinking that they are taking the easy way out.
Yeah.
It takes something for us to meet our responsibilities as we go along life's pathway. And yet people will take the easy way out, let somebody else do it. I don't think I'll move. I just rather not. But we are living in a time where we need to realize that I am responsible. Others may do things to me. They may do things against me. But ultimately, when it comes down to me and the Lord, it's based upon what I do. They may do things to me, but how do I react to it? They may say things about me, but how do I go about that? Or as we consider the long life's pathway, if people would only meet their responsibilities, this whole world would be in a much better shape than it's in today. We want to consider a few who failed to meet their responsibilities. And we want to consider a few who finally came to a place of accepting and acting upon their responsibilities. And we want to note the difference between the outcomes of those. We'd like to turn to Genesis, the second chapter, and we ask that you bear with us, for some of this is going to be somewhat lengthy reading, but we want to share it to cover some of the background as we consider it there. Yeah. Starting in the second chapter of Genesis, reading verses 15 through 17, and then we're going to move down to the third chapter. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now we drop down to the third chapter. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. When we consider this here, we know the story about Adam and Eve. But the thing we consider here is that when it came time to really accept the responsibility that God had given unto them, they failed to really meet the challenge.
Yes.
And we find here that the devil done all he could to deceive and cause them to fall. But as we look upon this, we find there that when they came to be, you might say, called upon the carpet, they began to express some things that told off on themselves right from the very beginning. And as we go along life's pathway, we can fail to meet the responsibilities that God has given us towards our own soul. But when we are called into judgment, when we come to those places of trial and test in our own lives, we ourselves will tell on ourselves just where we are and how we haven't fully met that challenge as we've gone along life's pathway. We see here as well, not only did they do that, but Adam began to make excuse. The woman that thou gavest to me, Lord, you put her here with me. She's the one you brought here, and she's the one that has caused me to fall. It's not my fault. But then we find that as he passed it on, he went on to Eve. What hast thou done? Lord, the serpent that you've made, he beguiled me. It wasn't me. He just tricked me, Lord, and I have my excuse. This is the reason that I've not met my responsibility. But as we consider that, we begin to see here that reasoning with Satan will cause us all, if we're not careful, to fall in that same path. And when we come to realize that we've been deceived, when we realize we've lost what we once had, instead so many times of people facing themselves, it becomes the saints didn't do this and the saints didn't do that. My husband was a cause for a hindrance. My wife did this unto me and I could not bear it. And as a result, this is the reason why I'm in the place that I'm now in. It's not my fault. Somebody else did all of this to me. But as we consider that, let us hold it in mind and begin to ponder the results of that. Let us now turn to Genesis, the 25th chapter, and look upon someone else who might have a little different set of reasons as to why they didn't meet their responsibilities as well. There in the 25th chapter of Genesis, starting at verse 29, we want to consider the story here about Esau and Jacob. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now let us turn to the 27th chapter, looking at verses 1 through 8. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold now, I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, bring me venison, and make me savory meat that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Dropping down to verse 11. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will fail me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice. and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. Now we want to drop down to verse 30. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise, and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly, and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said unto him, Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered, and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Now it would appear here that he had two good reasons from the human point of view. First of all, his brother caught him when it seemed like he was faint and about to die. And he felt like, I've got to have something right now. What good is this birthright going to do me if I'm not going to be here to receive the blessing and the profit from it? So he sold his birthright to his brother and sware unto him, gave his word, and now he had to stand behind it. But we find there that something else took place. While he thought he was going to receive a blessing, there was his mother and his brother as well working against him at this point in time. And he comes up short once again. And so he feels like, isn't he rightly named the way he is? He's a true deceiver. He's deceived me twice, and he's taken away my blessings. But as we consider that, we look there and begin to see that he had some responsibilities that he did not care for. He did not fully value the birthright that he had, that place there within his own family, that when his father passed away, he should have been the patriarch, the one who would receive special blessings and privileges that no one else would be able to receive. But he despised it. He did not fully value it. Maybe did not fully realize just what he had on hand, and so he sold it for just a little bit. As we go along life's pathway, we may feel like that it's somebody else's fault for us being in the place we are. But too many times, when you look back over the actions of the people, you begin to find that they gave up their blessings and their rights and privileges with the Lord for just a little bit of nothing, maybe a few minutes of pleasure, and yet it bring them a lifetime of pain. As we go along life's pathway, they can say that, well, it's because somebody else deceived me or supplanted me and tricked me out of the things that I had. But all as we go along, let us hold that in mind as well, and consider, as we look at one more example in the 1 Samuel, we begin to see another case here where someone else held on to some things, and then we want to look at the results of all as we go along. Going there in 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, I want to read verses 1 through 3, and then drop down to verses 8 through 11. Samuel also said unto Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, oxen, sheep, camel, and ass, Here we find a time where God was bringing judgment down on the people, the Amalekites, when the children of Israel had come out of Egypt and was going on across to the Canaan land. The Amalekites, realizing that there were some who were straggling behind due to their weaknesses or some other type of inhibition, they went upon them and slayed those people that were not able to defend themselves. And here, some 400 years later, God is bringing judgment down upon them that they're going to be utterly destroyed. And He's given this responsibility to Saul to take care of at that point in time. But we go on down to the 8th verse, and He took Agag, the king of the Amalekites alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Now we want to drop down to verse 13. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. All we consider here, look at the example and look at the actions that he's taken there. In verse 17, Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Here we find that this man is refusing to acknowledge that he did not accept and carry out the full responsibility. Samuel had plainly told him, You are to go and utterly destroy everything. If there's any doubt in your mind, you are to kill the women. You are to take care of the men. You are to slay the infant and the suckling, the oxen and the sheep. You are to totally destroy them all, because God has pronounced His judgment upon them. But we find here that he came before Samuel and said, I've gone and done just what you told me to do. I've carried out God's commandments. And yet, right quickly, Samuel got to the very heart of it. What meaneth the bleeding that I hear? You say you've gone out and utterly destroyed, and yet your own actions betray what you have done. And so he begins to shift the blame. It was the people that spared all these things. But we find there it said that he spared Agag, the king of the Amalekites. He set the example right there before the people. And when they saw that, it no doubt gave them the freedom to feel like, we can spare some of this too, and go back and make offerings and sacrifice. But as Samuel begins to deal with him further, begins to remind him that at one point in your life, you were little in your own sight, and God was able to bless and use you, and now you've turned away. But then he goes on further, holding on to his own selfish ways. I have done those things that you told me to do. You told me to go and destroy them and to spare Agag. But when you look back there, the word plainly said to destroy them all. Didn't say to spare anything. And yet he still says the people were the ones who saved all of this. And so Samuel once again deals with him right to the very heart of it. It is better to obey. If you will obey, it gets it down to where it's right there within the heart.
People can do a lot of things that will make a lot of showing and yet not have their heart in it. But here he's letting him know it's better for you to obey, to do those actions that will spring from the heart and not be caught up in all of the pomp and circumstance in trying to save the spoil and do these things that you have done. All as we go along life's pathway, we begin to see here he still held on to his reasoning, and we find there that Samuel let him know God has rejected you. When he said, "It repenteth me that I have made Saul king," he was saying right there, "I'm going to change the way that I have dispensed my blessings upon the people of Israel. They will not come through the family of Saul anymore, but I have chosen me someone else." As you and I go along life's pathway, it's for us to not just hold on to our own ways. It's always somebody else. They did this and somebody else did that, but it is for us to face ourselves for what we really are. When people want to realize and face the fact of just what they've got inside, they're able then to see what they've got and deal with it in such a way that they can utterly destroy that thing.
Yes.
As we look there, we find that although Saul gave his reasons, there was one common thread amongst these three examples that it did not make any difference. They were still responsible.
Yeah.
Saul said the people did it, but had Saul done what he should have done, he had the authority, he had the weight that he could have told them, "You leave all of this stuff right here and slay it just as Samuel told us to." And those people would have had to follow his command, so he couldn't lay the responsibility upon them, because he had the ability to carry out the very thing that Samuel had sent him to do. We find there with Esau, he tried to say, "Somebody supplanted me and tricked me and deceived me." But when we consider it there, it did not make any difference. He was still responsible. And because of the actions that he took, when he wept bitterly with tears, he could not find a place to gain back those blessings that he is so utterly deceived. When we looked at Adam and Eve, they tried to pass the blame to someone else, but it was still upon them. They were responsible. They knew what God required. He laid forth His word in plainness and gave it to them in simplicity. He had told them right there just what they were to do. But we find there that Eve came to a place where she began to reason with herself, and you find that the devil tries to get us to do that very same thing today. She began to look at it and no doubt consider that this fruit don't look like it's any better than the other fruit that we eat up on. It's not any something to be esteemed any more highly. Why can't we eat on that just as we do the other? And as she brought that down to the same level as all of the other fruits of the trees there, it opened the door for her to partake on something that she had been forbidden to partake of. And as a result, even though she took it there and began to blame the serpent for beguiling her, right on down through to today and on until this world is brought into an end, we will all suffer the consequence of that kind of action because she failed to meet that responsibility. As we look upon it, she still had to reap the consequence. As we go along life's pathway, there are a lot of people who want to say it's your decision, do what you want to do. But as we consider that, the writer tells them there that the young men can go on and follow the path that they want to follow, but remember this, you'll be brought into judgment. In other words, if you and I fail to meet our responsibilities as we go along life's pathway, we are going to meet some things as a result of that. There's no getting around it. We're going to suffer some things, and if we fail to meet them, there'll be others that will suffer with us as well, and suffer so unnecessarily as we go along life's pathway. All they had their reasons. They tried to give their excuses, but none of this changed anything. They were still responsible. And so it is with you and I as we go along life's pathway. We are going to meet some things that will be hurtful to us. We'll meet some things that will be discouraging. They may be confusing, but the ultimate thing for us to consider is that no matter what takes place, you and I are responsible for those things and how we react to them, how we accept them. Will we allow them to be those things that will crush us down, or will we allow those things to be stepping stones in our life that will cause us to get stronger as we go along life's pathway? The songwriter said, "Darkness around me, and sorrow surrounds me. Though there be troubles, still I can sing, for I have this blessing. My God reigns within me, and I am determined to live for the King. He went on further to say, I am determined to be invincible till He has finished His purpose in me, and nothing can shake me, for He'll never forsake me. I am determined to live for the King. You and I can be in a place where we'll accept the responsibilities that we have towards our very own soul. We can live a life where we can be spiritually invincible, though the devil hurl all kinds of things towards us. We can take it and still keep going on, though it may seem like He's got us down and we're cast down. We won't be forsaken, as the writer said there in his letters. We can still yet press on. We can find ourselves in a place where God will continually bring us out, but you and I must accept that responsibility. We must face it as we go along life's pathway. We can't put it off on everybody else as we go along the way. Too many people are looking to shirk those things and find that they can slide off. Let somebody else do it. Blame it on others. Get an attitude about it. Have an attitude towards their spouse that is just not holy and not acceptable in the sight of God, and still try to convince you that you're just as saved as anybody else. But I have to say tonight that no, it is not so. You may not be unsaved, but you're definitely in a place where we need to seek God and get some grace in our soul to meet those responsibilities that God has laid forth unto us as we go along this way. Now let us look at some other examples over in Jonah, the first chapter. We consider this person here, and we all know about him, but let's look at this reading from chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Here we find Jonah been given a charge, been told by the Lord to go and present this message to the people of Nineveh. But Jonah's not going to accept his responsibility. He rises up and he goes down to Tarshish to catch a ship there, going to flee on to Tarshish. And we find there that just what he was looking for was right there waiting, just ready for him. Seemed like it was just the right kind of timing. And if we're not careful, we can do just like Jonah. No, I'm not going to do that. I won't follow that way. I know the Spirit is dealing with me to do something in my own life, to maybe take care of certain matters, but I'm going to rise up and I'll flee and go the other way. And there always seems to be that convenient ship just waiting to take us supposedly from the presence of the Lord. But yet we find here that Jonah's thinking wasn't too good to think that he could get away from God's presence. We go on down to the 8th verse. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Here we find somebody that didn't want to meet their responsibilities, going the other way, and now they're meeting some tempestuous trials, some tests there in life, down there in the bottom of the ship, trying to hide from the Lord. And here these people were rowing against the waters, trying to somehow make it safe, fearing for their own lives, throwing off their cargo, trying to lighten the ship, And then when they finally realize that something is amiss here, something is unusual here, there's somebody down there in the ship that's sleeping, and they ask him, "Where are you? Who are you? Where did you come from? What is your occupation? What did you do? How did you bring this upon us?" But we find here that at this point in time, although he shirked his responsibilities, now he's taking those steps to begin to face just what he needs to do. And so he lets them know that it's my fault that these things have come upon you. And so they begin to question him, "What are we to do then, since you brought this upon us?" And we find there that he somehow began to realize that it is me that has caused this, and unless they get rid of me, they're going to perish along with me. So he lets them know, "You can cast me overboard." If we only had more people in the world today that would face themselves and let others know that it is my fault that these things have come upon you, and now I'm going to take those steps to face myself, to face reality, to face the world by the help of God, and carry out those responsibilities that I had to my own soul as well as to others, this place would be so much the more better as we go along life's way. Here we find that Jonah was able to own up and say, "I am the man. This is the person. It's not somebody else over here, but I am the one who has caused this to come about." And so we find there that when they did toss him over, although it wasn't something that they wanted to do, then the sea became calm, and they were able to recognize that there is a true God, that there's someone here who rules the winds and the waves. And yet we find too that as he took those steps to meet his responsibilities, then God began to work in his behalf. There are those who might argue whether or not a fish could have swallowed a man, but when God begins to step in on the scene, as you and I face our responsibilities, we find those doors are open where we knew there were no doors. We find those ways are made where we knew there were no ways to be made. And if we continue to walk in those kind of paths, our outcome will be much like his. When he got back on dry land, it said that he made haste and went to Nineveh, a journey that would have taken 3 days. He was able to make in one and able to do what God would have him to do as he went along at that point in time. Over in Luke, the 19th chapter, looking at verses 5 through 9, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, and he saw him and said unto him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house.' And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold.' And Jesus said unto him, 'This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham.'" Here we find someone who was seeking the Lord, and as he was seeking there, he climbed up in a sycamore tree, a tree that's not supposed to be very easy to climb. But not only did he climb the sea, we can see that there was something going on within him. He was beginning to face himself and his own responsibilities to his soul. And so we find here that the Lord didn't have to deal with him as he dealt with the rich young ruler. He voluntarily told him, "Lord, the half of my goods, I'll just give them to the poor. And then after I've done that, if I've taken anything wrongly from anyone, I'll make restitution for it and restore him fourfold." The result there was that when he told him what I will do and meet those conditions, that Jesus was able to let him know that salvation has come to this man's house, that he too is a son of Abraham. We find that there are those who are murmuring and complaining and maybe have a lot to say, but this person was able to ignore all the murmuring and the complaining, able to ignore what the people thought about him and his lot in life, and was able to face himself and do the things that God needed for him to do. As we look there in the 15th chapter of Luke, starting there at the 17th verse, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He could have taken a point, as so many people do in the world today. When he saw his father running and had compassion, he could have said, well, maybe everything is all right, and I won't have to tell him all of this. Look like he's going to take me right on back in, as if nothing had ever taken place. And he could have went right back on into the family, because the father had compassion on him. But we find there that he was able to recognize that I have sinned, and there are some things that I must do. So when he got there, although it looked like maybe he wouldn't have had to do all of these things, he stayed with his resolution. He stayed with his resolve. Let him know that I've sinned before heaven, and I've sinned before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Just take me back as one of your servants. But we find there that the father, in his great compassion, told him to bring forth the fatted calf, put the shoes on his feet, the ring on his finger, give him a new robe. In other words, he was restoring the shoes upon his feet to let him know you have the same liberty and the freedom that you had before. Put the robe upon him to let him know you're part of the family once again. Bestowed him a place where he'd been brought back. As you and I go along life's pathway, we'll meet some things where sometimes we have some responsibilities to go and let someone know that I've done wrong, and maybe I haven't been just right in this matter, instead of just going along and maybe trying to see if they're still mad at me, if they got any hard feelings. And if they don't, then I'll just ignore it and go on. As we go along life's pathway, you and I have a responsibility to somehow recognize that sometimes we just need to say I'm wrong and I'm sorry. As we go along life's pathway, we can't brush over things as we go along the way and still yet expect to be restored to that place that God would have for man. As we go along, we see here that these three people were able to face themselves, and their outcome was totally different than the ones who continued to make excuse as they went along the way. We find there that each one had a causing effect. When they realized, I must pay my vows, I must discharge my debts, they went forth and took that action. Nobody had to tell Jonah to go on and go now. You've been here, it's time for you to go. He was gone right there from the start. We find here that nobody had to just pull and tug at Zacchaeus and tell him, here's what you need to do. He was able to just tell the Lord, this is what I will do. And after this young man had come to his senses, we realized he'd met some hard things and was able to finally recognize that this wasn't the place for him to be. But as I look out over the lives of people in the world today, they can meet hard thing after hard thing, trial after trial and test after test, and yet not seem to be able to wake up and recognize that I'm doing this to myself as well as those around me. When we find those places where we need to work upon as we go along life's pathway, you and I need to be the author, the causing effect. The Lord shouldn't have to just keep tugging and pulling and trying us as we go along the way. To be truthful about it, He shouldn't have to keep whipping us as we go along life's pathway. Oh, as we consider it, I thought about the time there in the Old Testament, he spoke of Israel, more or less asked them, what shall I do with you? When I smite you, you still won't turn. If I try this or that, you're still stiff-necked and stubborn. What more can I do? If I continue to do these things, you still will not bow. As we look there, it's not for us to reach that kind of place in our own life because of our own pride and stubbornness. As we go along life's pathway, it's for us to meet that responsibilities that we have to be a causing effect in our own lives, to change some of the things that we know are not right as we go along life's pathway, to do those things that are pleasing that the Lord would have done. He's going to be faithful to us. He'll send His Spirit to deal with us. He'll show us, take us through trials and tests to show us just where we stand. But there are those places where you and I need to self-examine ourselves and meditate and see some things and begin to take action without the Lord having to treat us in the way He sometimes has to as we go along life's pathway. Over in Joshua, the 24th chapter, we'd like to consider a thought there as we look at the choices that were made. Joshua 24, I want to read verses 13 through 15.
And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. But the vineyards and oliveyards which ye planted not do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood are the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here Joshua had pointed out to the children of Israel the blessings that God had bestowed upon them. He had let them know that it wasn't because they were so great and so good, but yet God in His mercies had brought them to a good place. But now they were in a valley of decision. Choose you this day, whom will ye serve? As you and I go along life's pathway, we are going to have to make some choices. Will I meet the challenge and be responsible to the things that I am to be responsible for? If I'm the husband or the father in the family, will I meet those obligations that God has set forth in His Word for me to me? If I'm the wife or the mother in the family, will I accept those things and do all I can to meet them as I go along life's pathway? If it comes down to just the place of being saved and living for the Lord, whether we're boy or girl, man or woman, married or unmarried, will I meet those responsibilities when the Lord begins to deal with me? Will I accept His wooing spirit and begin to work on those things that He has shown me as I go along this way? Or will I choose to do something else, not meet the responsibilities? Lord, that's too hard. I can't deal with that. I don't really want to face myself on that line, Lord. So I must turn and find me another ship to go on. Oh, as we go along the way, there's something else we must consider when we look over in the 25th chapter of Matthew. Starting there at the 24th verse, we find someone else who failed to meet their responsibility. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where you have not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strewed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We find here that the Lord in this parable had given talents to different ones. And there were 2 cases where they accepted the responsibility, was able to take those talents and work with them and improve upon them to a point that when the Lord came back, they was able to meet Him without fear. You gave me 5 talents, and now I bring and lay before thee 10. And then the other one gave him 3, I believe it was, and he laid more than the 3 before him. The point there being that they met their responsibilities as they went along the way. There's no doubt they met some hardships, some setbacks, some troubles, some trials. There's no doubt that they had to fight within themselves against some of the things that they met. But here yet is another person who knew that God was, that the Lord was going to come back. And so he just took it and buried it and was idle that entire time. And so we find here that although he tried to make the excuse, I knew you were a hard man. I knew you were gaining from things that you did not do. And as a result, I have not done anything. I'm just giving you back what you gave unto me. But as we go along life's pathway, you and I have some talents as well, and we can't sit there and feel like, well, the Lord is too hard. He's requiring too much, and this is something that I can't do. I can't follow this way, can't live the life, can't do the things that God would have me to do. But as we come to that point, we realize here that this man knew
that he was going to have a day of reckoning, and so it'll be with you and I. It may not be so much as in the final judgment, but you and I will have some days of reckoning right here upon this earth, and we'll find that the results will be destruction as we go along life's pathway. Our children will suffer and maybe leave and never be saved. Others may be disappointed and backslide, and I realize they're not supposed to just follow man, but the fact is that you and I have some influence as we go along life's pathway. With that influence comes some responsibilities, and you and I must discharge those responsibilities in such a way that there'll be some gain and not some loss from it. Well, as we consider it there, each one's going to have to understand just where they are and how responsible are we as we go along life's pathway. Are we responsible to our own soul? The writer lets us know, he that is faithful in little will be faithful in much. If we're not faithful to our own soul, we won't be faithful to others as we go along life's pathway. And we are in a time where there's too much loss. There's too much that's been wasted as we've gone along the way. And it is for us to mend our pace and meet those responsibilities as we go along life's way. But each one must consider, I am responsible. I want to say this too, that too many times we can sit under the hearing of the Word of God, and we can be as one sister told me, the preacher brought forth the message, and there was the amen. And when the message was over, the sister had someone come up to her and say, that message was for you. Well, was it or was it not? I am responsible. Yes. Too many times amens are fired across the congregation. Oh, I know that's for them. Amen. No, I am responsible. Lord, help me to get out of it what I need to get, and help me to be doing what I need to be doing as I go along the way. Pray for me that I won't shirk that responsibility.